Amen. Well, if I could just, if you can, if you're able, all you ladies, would you stand for a moment? All the ladies, young, old. If you're a woman, stand. If you're confused, talk to me after, I'll help you. So I want just to take a moment. Happy Mother's Day. And for all you men folk, look around, see these ladies here. They should be honored, not just today, but every day. Amen? So thank you, ladies. You may be seated. So it is always an honor and a privilege to come up here, but I feel like in my spirit I'm supposed to do something first. I feel in my spirit that I have offended someone in some fashion. So if you're here in the building or online, I sincerely apologize if I have offended you in any way, shape, or form. So please accept my humble apology, because I want to get that out of the way so now we can concentrate on the message. I've had to kind of sit on this. The Lord gave this to me a while ago. But he kept, not yet, not yet, not yet. And then it was like, now. And those, sometimes it's a little intimidating when that happens. But we are going to talk about mothers. So turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 5, verse 7. Judges chapter 5, verse 7. And I just took the first part of this verse. Then I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. How many of you are familiar with the story of Deborah? Some of you not so much. Well, Judges 4 and 5 tell us a little bit more about Deborah. So if you want to flip back, just one chapter back. And this is what it tells us about Deborah. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel, at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So it tells us two things here. She was a wife, and she was a mother. Deborah, can you imagine, you know, she was probably just kind of going about her business, and then God started speaking to her spirit and started bringing people to her with questions, with things that they needed. And then, of course, we know, for most of us, we know the most famous story that we've heard about her is where God is going to deliver Israel. And he picks Barak. And Deborah is the one to tell him this. So think about this. Through Deborah to Barak, to the army of Israel, their world changed. Do you understand that? Their world changed. Because their oppressors were overthrown. And don't even get me started about Jael and some of the other goings-ons there. But I just thinking about mothers, you have Ruth, we have Hannah, you have Sarah, and of course we have Mary. All mothers. Motherhood, if you look at your verses in Scripture, was regarded as a noble ministry, requiring significant sacrifice, and they are to be honored. Who can tell me what the fifth commandment is? Your pop quiz for the morning. What's the fifth commandment? Anybody? Honor your father and your mother. First commandment with promise, absolutely. Because, you know, we focus so much on the patriarchal side, if you will, of Scripture. But right from the very beginning, see, it wasn't just fathers or men who were to be honored. It says, honor your father and your mother. And just on a side note, I told somebody this earlier. I want to know where my chair is. Lazy boy, where's the lazy girl chair? Come on. You know? Oh, wait. We're talking about mothers. Maybe, is that because we never sit down? Is that part of that? But let's talk about it for a minute. What makes a woman a mother? What makes a woman a mother? Children, childbearing. First and foremost, and that's usually when we think of a mother, that's what we're thinking about. But as a mother, I have two daughters. Let's talk for a minute about that birthing process. And I'm sorry, you guys, just bear with me. If you have wives, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, ask someone later. But think about this. When I first found out I was pregnant, went in, had the test done, so excited. I couldn't wait for the first one. I couldn't wait to get my maternity clothes and, you know, all the stuff, right? Start planning the nursery and all the things that go with it. Mark thought I was a little crazy because, you know, I wasn't even showing yet. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear my top today. And he's like, why? But I was excited. I was excited because there was something happening, something changing. Well, that was like the first 3, 4, 5 months. And then, as you ladies know who are moms, the body starts changing. Things start moving. Things start getting a little uncomfortable. All of a sudden, that easy chair isn't so easy to get out of. You know, you kind of have to do the whole, you know. And boy, by the 8th and 9th month, you're like, is this never going to come out? And then, okay, we get to that point, full 9 months. And then now birth. I had both my children natural. Sarah, my firstborn, was 9-1. Hannah, my second, was born at home and she was 10.5 pounds. But there was a process, labor. We call it labor. And it is indeed labor. From that first twinge to like something's happening to bearing down and pushing and now new life. New life. And you know, even though we are talking about mothers, and let's not even think about, you know, from the perspective of the baby, have you ever thought about labor and all that from the perspective of the child? You know, I'm all warm and cozy in my little sack here, and then as I grow and I get bigger, it starts getting kind of crowded, and I don't really fit in here anymore. And then, now think about this. If you're the baby in the womb, all of a sudden, I'm getting pushed out. You ever think about that? From their perspective, what is happening? Everything was going good. It was a little crowded in here, but I was okay. And now I'm pushed out into something totally new and different. Because from inside the womb to being born is two totally different things from the perspective of the child. Now, let's talk about being born in the spiritual. So you men folk can turn your ears back on now. We're done talking about that stuff. But there is a reason we use the term born again. There is. And just a side note, think about this. When a conception happens, and you know, there's the water surrounding all of that and that. Have you ever wondered if, you know, it talks about in Genesis that the Spirit hovered over the waters at the moment of conception? The Spirit hovering over that new life. Something to think about. John chapter 1, verse 12. Talking about Jesus. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, we throw that term being born again around kind of almost flippantly, if you will. But if you really think about it from the perspective of a birth, there's a lot more to it. 1 Timothy 1:2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So you men folk, guess what? You can have spiritual sons and daughters. And for some of you may know this, some may not, that labor and birthing and whatnot can be very similar. Just because it's not in the physical doesn't mean it's not still labor. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, he calls him that again, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So he says it twice in the same chapter. And he commends Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. So mothers and fathers, but your day isn't here yet, fathers. Just hang on for about a month. We'll get to you. But seriously, all joking aside, you have a responsibility to your own children, whether by birth, in the natural, or spiritual. Because I'll tell you this, someone is always watching. Someone is always watching. And just like Michelle mentioned earlier, sometimes when we're down and you're up, you help lift us up. And vice versa. There's a reason why we use the term born again. And John chapter 3, of course, most of us are familiar with that. Pastor touched on it last week. I was sitting down there going, because I thought he was going to preach my sermon. It's like, nope. Don't preach that. But Jesus himself, starting in verse 3, John 3, verse 3, talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And you know, you got to think to yourself, really? That's your question? But he did. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Born again. We use that, like I said, we use that term a lot, and we don't always stop to think about it, really. But now comes what can be a bit of intimidating part for me, because I have a personal word that the Lord shared with me, and it's been basically exactly 9 months in the making. And he said to share it with you, because evidently it's for some of you as well. I had a dream last summer. And at first I didn't understand it because it was kind of an odd dream to me. But I dreamt, without grossing anybody out, that I was having a menstrual cycle. And we'll leave it at that. No description needed. Which, at my age, has not happened for years. And I woke up from that dream, and I was like, boy, that was weird. And but if it sticks with you, sometimes you need to ask, what does it mean? And that one stuck with me, and I'm like, I don't understand this dream. And then it hit me. It says, in order for a woman to be fertile, she has to have that process. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you telling me? I'm like, we're not going to do the whole Sarah thing, are we? You know, I was like, and he's like, no, not talking about the physical, I'm talking about in the spirit. So I said, okay, phew. But then, you know, so that was last summer. So I'm like, okay. And then that was just kind of it. So I just kind of, you know, you sometimes you have to file things. They're on a shelf. You know they're there. You didn't forget about them. But it's like, okay, this is for another time. So I had that dream, made a note, put it away. Then we came here. Anybody remember what month we came? When Mark and I came back from Orofino, was August. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. 9 months. 9 months. He gave me a word early in the year, just a single word, transition. So I'm like, okay. I said, the only term I know that word for is with labor. That's one of the stages people go through in labor, and it's usually the hardest stage. It's the stage where you're like, okay, I'm done. Let me up off the bed. I don't I'm done. It's usually a short, but it's usually one of the hardest because your body's shifting gears. It's going into the active phase of labor. And it's called transition. And he just gave me the single word. So I'm like, okay, Lord, this is the only reference I have for this word, is being in labor. And no other explanation given, just transition. Well, that's okay. All right, same thing. I put that on the same shelf with the dream. And then it came to getting ready for today. And then he starts putting them together for me. He goes, remember that dream? I was like, yeah. He says, remember that word? I said, yeah. He says, how many months has it been? So I'm doing the math. 9. And he goes, what stage do you think we're in now? And I'm like, oh. This is starting to make a little more sense now. So, 9 full months. 9 full months. And then he says, okay, now. And so I'm like, now what? You know? What are we doing? What's going on? And he's basically, for me, he's telling me we're going to start a new phase. I don't know all the details yet. I just know that something new has been birthed, if you will, in me, and it's going to come forth, and it's going to produce fruit. And I am excited about it. I am excited about it. But then, for you, a breakthrough and a birth are similar. Do you understand that? There is a breaking. When a baby is born, what do we say? My water broke, right? Break through. Same thing. Something has to break in order for you to get through. Amen? So some of you, and I'm once again, I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Don't, like she looked right at me. Ezekiel 37:11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Some of you may feel you're as dry as dust. Because if you remember the description of these bones in the previous verses right before this, it says not only were they dry, they were very dry. And Ezekiel asks, because the Lord asks him, can these bones live? And he's, Lord, you know. So I think either here today or online, maybe both, some of you feel just like this. You're dry, you're dusty, and you're just not sure if there's any life left in the spirit. You feel dead. John 11:39. This might describe some of you. Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. You're too late, Jesus. Amen. But sometimes feelings don't always have to be rational. We might know something up here, but what we feel here is different. So some of you might feel, it's too late. I've already got the doctor's report. I've already got whatever. You're too late, Jesus. But was he too late? No. When he spoke Lazarus' name, Lazarus came forth. He was dragging the grave cloths with him, and they had to help him because he was all wrapped up. But he came out of that grave. When the Spirit of God blew on the dry bones, they came together. The flesh came back on them. They stood on their feet. A change took place. So here we are. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Think about this. Wilderness usually is just that. It's wild. It's untamed. There are no trails. There are no roads. There are no path to follow, if you will. But what does he say he'll do? He will make a way. He will make a path to follow. And rivers in the desert. Rivers and desert do not go together, do they? If I'm in a desert, I don't expect to see rivers. But he says he'll do it. So here's where we're at. He says it is time. It is time for the birthing. Whatever that looks like for you. I'm talking in the spirit. It's time to bring forth. Maybe it's a calling on your life that you've just thought that there's just no way. There is a way. It's time for your spring. Winter is over. It's time for dry, dead bones to come alive. Amen.